You're listening to On Point with Perry Solkowski and Randy Janda on Sportsnet 650.
I've been watching you, watching every girl in the bar, and paying no attention to the one on
Darren Pichette as he gets set. The second annual Canuck Country Rocks charity fundraiser event is going to take place tomorrow at the Vogue. Aaron will be there. The Odds, Tim Hicks, Sean Austin, Megan Patrick. Doors will open at 6. Show starts at 7. A little later on the On Point program with Perry Solkowski and Randy Janda, we'll give you some tickets, an opportunity to win. We got Luke Bryan tickets, too, for Password. It's a country festival for us on this Friday. Aaron Pichette joins us now in studio. Well, Aaron, thanks for making the trip. How are you?
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it was a quick trip. Just a little flight over from Gabriola.
So. How is island life? Would you recommend that? If you were working for tourism in Gabriola Island, how would you sell it to me?
Well, if you're coming over to Gabriola, there's many things to see and do. There's a lot of hippies. You can see a lot of hippies over there. They're usually taking part in extracurricular activities.
Okay. There's the selling point right there, folks.
But it could be legal extracurricular activities.
Absolutely, yeah. No, it's an amazing island, and it's
Does everybody know everybody?
No. There's 4,000 people there as full-time residents, and then in the summer goes up to about 8 or 9. And no, they don't really know each other. Nobody really. We have friends, and obviously
friends,
there's social scenes. Yeah. But a lot of people move there just to keep to themselves.
How different is it for you traveling all the time to just go? Is that why you're there?
It's a nice decompression after traveling all the time. But I'm away a lot. So
what's a lot?
Well, last summer, for example, I was home 3 days within about 6 months.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. So. When I go home, I'll go fishing.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's nice.
So you're originally from the mainland, though, right?
Yeah, I was born in Vancouver, raised in Kitimat, actually, up north, where the Canuck alumni and I are going up next weekend.
Very good. And you have a connection to Pitt Meadows, because I remember when I was a young guy, I hit up Roosters once or twice in my life, so you do have a Roosters connection out there.
I do. Actually, I opened, I wasn't one of the owners, but I was the opening night DJ in October of 1996.
Really?
And I DJed there from there then until 2004, but also played with my band there for many years. And obviously the Sunday nights, the $2 Coronas.
Yeah, that was a selling point.
I've been dropping my daughter off there for a few years now. I know the whole thing. Trust me. I go, honey, last time I dropped her off at Rooster, I'm just going, it's raining. And I go, you're not standing in line.
No.
Please do whatever you can. Show me you've got some Solkowski talk in your blood and talk your way through that front door. I don't want you waiting.
No.
Do you ever go back there? Have you played there?
You know what? I went back last week for the first time in years. And of course, on a Wednesday night when they have bull riding. So it was a ton of fun just going to hang out with some friends. And a lot of things have changed in there. But, it's still the same bones of the building. And it was neat to see that 22 years later.
Your song, and we'll play it at some point, Dom. Your music's great. You get a lot of play here. Everybody has a little dirt road in them. You watched that video. You got Babich, Lofthouse, and Cliff Ronning in there.
Yeah.
How did you get tied in with the Vancouver Canucks and their alumni?
Well, I've always been a fan. I was born in 1970 and, born into being a Canucks fan right from the get-go. So that was the year they were brought into the league, just in case people don't know the relevance of that. But, I've always been a huge hockey fan. I played it my entire life. I was a kid that slept in his hockey gear when I was 7 years old just to go to my practice the next morning and be ready. And, so it's been in my blood. It was
good?
My first love. I think so. I mean, it's so long ago now. It's hard to remember, but yeah, I played rep hockey and up till Bantam, in North Delta. And then that was it. I just played men's league. But like I said, I played 5-6 days a week. And then, when it came time, I played a few charity events with the Junos, for example, and then, other little events. And then the Canucks were like, Hey, why don't you come play with us? Be a member. So I was like, it was a dream come true.
So you play with those guys now. Who can still light it up? Which one of those alumni guys is, if you had to rank like a top two, who would be in your top two?
Okay, well, before I say that, though, I do have a top two, but and nothing against any of the other guys.
Yeah,
but honestly, they can all play still.
Yeah.
You know, even guys that are even in their 60s and 70s, it's all a matter of being in the right position for them. They
body,
know where to
body
be.
Position.
And yeah, as long as you're in the right position, you're going to get the puck and you can score. But, I mean, Cliff Ronning is obviously, he's not only just an awesome guy, but a phenomenal hockey player. And he can just sort of whip around pretty much anybody. And Kyle Wellwood's new to the team. And I remember one time we were doing an event in on Vancouver Island, and Tiger Williams was on one side of me and Kyle Wellwood was on the other side. And Tiger said, "Hey, we're down 6-1. Welly, time to turn it up." Okay. So we win 11-6 and Kyle's got 8 goals. So it's just a matter of, you know.
They can do it that quick.
Talk about
that easy.
Opposites. You had Tiger Williams on one side and Wellwood on the other. It's like, what?
Yeah.
You're right in the middle. Nice.
And I'm in the middle there, you know, little me. Yeah, it was a little strange. But, man, it was fun to watch these guys play.
It is amazing the first time you get on ice with those guys because you watch it on TV or up in the stands and everyone's, oh, geez, I would have made this play. And then you roll in. And you just go, how good are they? They're the best in the world.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, I'm just going to jump up on stage and I'll sing. No, it's not that easy. No. I mean, it takes hours and hours to get that much. And you're looking at the best. It's got to be a lot of fun to go out there.
Yeah, and I tell people that same thing. They're like, how can they play so well? They're just so natural. I'm like, no, well, think about it. Every day of their lives for the first 30-something years of their lives, they played hockey for 4 hours a day. You know, they'd be on the ice for 2, 3, 4 hours a day. That's a matter of, you know, practice. Practice makes perfect. These guys are the best in the world because of that. So, you know, they don't go out and play as much, but their muscle memory is pretty amazing. And that's just what they did for so long. It's just second nature.
We are getting you set tomorrow. Second annual Canuck Country Rocks charity fundraiser event. It's tomorrow at the Vogue. Several people. Odds, Tim Hicks, Sean Austin, Megan Patrick will be there.
Yep.
Aaron Prichette is joining us in studio on Point. When did music become something that you wanted to chase and make a living of it?
Well, I always wanted to be a hockey player first and foremost, and that's what I thought I was going to do when I was younger, and, you know, life takes over and things change. And I wasn't maybe 20, 21 when I knew I could sing, or thought, well, people want to hear me sing? Okay, sure.
Well, so like in high school are you singing, or what's going
on? No, I was really scared. I was really shy and didn't want anybody to hear me sing. And I a few times I was approached and, you know, somebody said, oh, a friend of ours heard you sing for us, and I just crumbled.
Yeah.
So
you weren't going on The Voice nowadays. You weren't going out on The Voice. Okay.
No.
I'm from Pitt Meadows. Yeah.
No, that's that would not have been me. No, for sure. And then, you know, I went to a karaoke of all things back in the early 90s and sang for the first time because my mom was like, go and sing a song for me.
What so song? Like, you remember?
Yeah. It's one of the most impossible songs you could ever sing, but it's the only one I really knew in the book. And it was called I've Been Waiting for a Girl Like You. From Foreigner.
That starts way up there, man.
Like you. Yeah, and I sang it. And I don't know how I did.
Wow.
But the guy that was running the show came up to me afterwards. He's like, hey, you want to work for me, man? I'm like, what? To carry your stuff out to your car for you? What? And he said, no, you're a really good singer. I want you to do these shows for me. So I did, and that's where it all started.
Wow.
Yeah. So a little karaoke in Cloverdale.
And now, you got to start somewhere, right? You got to start somewhere. Well, looking, you know, back, you've been involved with the game for some time now.
Yeah.
What's you're traveling quite a bit?
A lot.
Does it ever get old?
No, it never does. I'm getting up there in age, obviously. I gave away my birth year.
It's okay.
And it definitely takes a toll. There's definitely there's a few downsides to it. Obviously, all the time lost with family and friends. A few connections lost here and there, but, you know, you can gain those back. But other than that, no, I it never gets old. And getting all to do all these special event things too with you know, the alumni, for example, and these shows like on Saturday at the Vogue. Those are real bonus things, but I don't regret one day of it. And I would keep doing it as long as I'm breathing.
Is it, Aaron, is it all Canada? Is it through North America? Where are you traveling? And you know, and I don't mean to veer off here, but I would imagine a lot of time on a bus.
Yeah, traveling. Not so much on a bus.
Just
planes,
going back and back and forth and all that stuff. Is it right throughout North America?
No, it's only in Canada. I've never released anything in the States, and I've done a few shows down there. But
why is that? How does that work out? It's tough to crash in, or you're doing well in Canada?
Man, it's so hard to break down there because you need label support, first of all, and I've never had a label deal down the States. And in order for an independent, is what I would be considered down there, to release a song, it's... You know, it's almost 100 times the cost of what it would be here. Yeah. So, and not that it's cheap to do it here, not by any means, but imagine that's why you need that label support to have those funds to to go to radio and do all the tracking and do all the promoting and all the stuff that goes
on.
So
you can't roll into Nashville and say, hey, man, listen to me for 5 minutes. Lay down one of your hits. And they go, that's good. You want to play on Thursday night? It's not.
No.
That doesn't.
Definitely not that easy. It might have been a little easier back in the 90s, mm-hmm. you know, 80s, 90s. But no.
Where do you play a lot of similar cities and similar places that you've been through with your career?
Yeah, I played all over Canada, everywhere you can imagine. Literally, I've been to Alert, which if you look on a map, on the top of the horn in Canada, up at the North Pole, I've been there, played there.
Wow!
For the military, and did a military show tour, and then I got to go to Egypt one time, did a trip over there, played for the military as well, and Sarajevo and Bosnia, same thing, Germany, and yeah, so that's kind of cool. You get to go to places like that, but everywhere in Canada, and all these people that are like, man, I'm going to Australia for a year. It's like, go to Newfoundland for a year. Are you kidding me? It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
You have to go to see it and really take in the culture and the people there. It's awesome.
So, the Canucks have some pretty big country music fans, so yourself being one of them. And apparently Dallas Smith as well is a very big. He's tweeted this show as well a couple of times.
Yeah.
Are you guys buddies? Do you guys know each other?
Yeah. Yeah, Dallas and I know each other well. And sometimes it's unfortunate because I get texts from him that I'm like, why did I have to see that? but besides that, no, Dallas is just, he's an awesome, awesome guy. Chad Brownlee, same thing. Chad's a Canuck alumni.
Yeah, that's right.
And not just been asked, but he was drafted by the Canucks, as you probably know. And so Dallas is, we're pretty tight guys, and we're all from Langley, which is kind of funny.
When you started in this business, was country music as popular? It's always been there, but now, I mean, I worked in Yorkton, Saskatchewan, so you know, if I go to a wedding and when Dom's going to invite me to his wedding, I said, you got to play a two-step for my wife and I. I love country music. You love the two-step and all that stuff, but I really have seen in the last 15 years, like just everybody's into it.
Yeah, there definitely was that little, I was a closet listener for a long time because nobody else, none of my friends listened, and you'd get sort of like, what are you listening to? You know, I'm listening to, back then, Aerosmith, Van Halen, things like that, but also country on the side. So, but now it's definitely come into a much more cool form of music, but we still get stereotyped all the time, like the old hillbilly, you know, but we're not. I mean, yeah, I wear a cowboy hat, but I'm definitely, my music is not... You know, it's not Merle Haggard. It's not Johnny Cash-esque. And those guys were phenomenal and amazing and still love their music. But, you know, it's moved on from there. And it's definitely a lot more pop than it ever was.
Yeah, country music star Aaron Prichette joining us on point as we get you set. And we'll give you a chance to win some tickets to the second annual Canuck Country Rocks charity event at the Vogue. You say your music, you know, it's not stereotyped. But I love the fact that one of the lines in Dirt Road is past the fried chicken. Right? So you kind of went there with it.
You know what? I tried to get that line cut out of the song, too.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. I'm like, oh, it's too American sounding. I don't want it that American. And my producer's like, well, that's the beauty of it. And I said,
Did you write that? Do you write most of your stuff? Oh, you didn't, eh?
I didn't write
that song. What's the process of writing and coming up with the lyrics for a song?
It's a long process sometimes. Sometimes it's quick, too. It just depends on who you're writing with, what mood you're in, what kind of time you have that day. The storyline, is it easy to write? I mean, there's so many things involved in writing a song. And to be honest, it's painstaking. Like literally after a songwriting session in Nashville, if it's 4 hours, I'm mentally exhausted. I mean, it doesn't take much to exhaust me mentally, believe me. But it's literally, I'm drained and I'm tired. And I just, it's one of those things where I've thought too much. If you can figure that one out. But so I definitely love the process to a degree, but by the time the day has ended and you're drained, it's a little
So someone writes tiring. Dirt Road and you see the fried chicken, you go, man, we gotta change that.
And
the writer goes, no, man, that's good.
Well, the writers are usually the last people to, they're usually into a change like that, but with that line it was like there was just no other line.
But it's great, Cliff Ronning's eating the fried chicken.
I know. Yeah, and we always make that. That is Cliff's thing now. He is.
Oh, is it? Is that what he's known for? Yeah. Well, we have Shane O'Brien every Wednesday. We have him on our show, and he was in Entourage, right?
Oh yeah,
so
that's
he was
right.
In a real movie, but he didn't say anything. Now Cliff's got the video, so all
Cliff's got
are coming.
Cliff's got the fried chicken. Well, you're a big Canucks guy, and there's a big country music fan on the Canucks. Brandon Sutter is a big country music guy.
I know.
Have you had a chance to meet him and chat country music?
I did. I played in a golf tournament in, where was it? Red Deer with him a few years ago. And he's a part of this this Red Deer golf tournament every year. And I got to meet him once. It was me and Jim Vandermeer hanging out with him. And it was not name dropping or anything like that, but Jim's actually local guy now. Mm-hmm. I met Brandon. He was a really, really cool guy. They're just so down to earth, especially, you know, the those Prairie Boys. Oh, they're pretty down-to-earth dudes.
What's your best name drop? You didn't want a name drop.
It was Dallas Smith till today.
No, but, no, you can go bigger than that.
Oh, man. You know what? Can I just say, I can tell you my very first
You can't go with the Canuck
name drop
either.
No.
No, just yeah, give me a
My very first name drop, my very first interaction with a star, and it was a hockey star, was Ryan Smith.
Really? We had him on the show last week.
I met him at a Juno party, actually, in 2004 in Edmonton. And I was like, oh, my God, it's Ryan Smith. I'm a huge fan. And he's like, hey, it's Eric Jett. I love your music.
Oh, he knew your stuff. Yeah. That's got to feel good that he knows who you are.
I was like, what? You know who I am? So we exchanged numbers and ended up, and every time I got a text from him, I'm like, I got a text from Ryan Smith. And I didn't know anybody else at that point. So, yeah, he was the very first one. And he's, again, a great guy.
Who was your favorite hockey player growing up? I mean, you're a Canuck guy, but, you know, when you're 20, 21, who are you really going to, man, that guy can play?
Well, back then, I mean, we were following his 94. The 94 team was everything.
So that's got to be a kick for you that they're your buddies. Now
I know.
And they're in your
it
video,
really
right?
is. And I remember my first goal that I scored on the alumni. I had, it was a goal scored by Aaron Burchett and assisted by Cliff Ronning and Gene Olgick.
Really? Like, you're looking for the PA announcer. Do you got that on tape anywhere?
Yeah, I know. It was pretty cool. I just wanted the score sheet.
Who's the player that maybe from the 94 team or another team that you haven't had a chance to play with that you'd like to play with? If you had a dream line mate, who would it be from a Canucks alumni point of view?
Oh, Canucks alumni?
Or anyone. Does, yeah.
I played with them all actually so far, but I mean, it'd be obviously great to be able to
or just even
to lace them up
somebody
with,
who's played with the Canucks that maybe doesn't play with the alumni now.
Yeah.
But anybody from Canucks history.
Well, I mean, I'd love to be able to lace them up with the Sedins. I mean,
well, it might happen.
Phenomenal, and it might. Yeah, they're eligible now to be.
Yeah, well, they have to try out. They have to try out.
Yeah, they have to make it past the first round. Yeah.
Ryan Smith, a name drop. What about from country music? I mean, have you met the Biggies, the Garth Brooks, and all that stuff?
Or... Yeah, Garth Brooks was the guy that really turned me into a full time huge country fan. I was listening to Randy Travis and a bunch of other guys at the time, Dwight Yoakam. But then Garth Brooks came along and was like, wow, this is crazy. So I had something really cool happen. And I had my 2016 year was considered a resurgence. So, you know, I had a bunch of years that all these hits in 2006, 7, 8, 9, and then dead basically until 2016. And I went on a radio tour right across the country, Vancouver, right to St. John's, Newfoundland. And on the way, I stopped in Regina and I was doing a radio thing. I was co-hosting a radio show. For 2 hours in the morning. The guy who's hosting the show said, we're going to be doing two interviews tomorrow. You pick which one you want to interview. Mm-hmm. He said, it's Father Seamus O'Malley, who's getting his big sale promo in early for December. This is April.
Yeah.
So he's joking. Or Garth Brooks. So you choose. I was like, what? Garth Brooks. I never met him. Never, you know, he's my hero, right? Musical hero. Yeah, I was a fan before I started singing. Sure. So anyways, we're doing this interview, and I get to ask him one question. So I was just going to ask him a joke question. Turns out, he says, I said, can I give you my agent's contact info? I'll give you $50, you know? And and he said, hey, let me ask you a question. How'd you like to open the shows for me in Saskatoon in June? And
no.
I was like, what? Yeah, I was just shocked. It's on the internet. Awesome. It's pretty cool. So my dream came true. I literally had this dream in 1992 that I was going to, I was on stage with Garth Brooks or on his stage.
Yeah.
June
it happened.
2016, I got to open for Garth Brooks for
two
shows.
So not that far ago, not that long ago.
No. I mean, I'm a big kid when it comes to that kind of stuff.
He played up at a TV station when they had the Country Music Network when Stu Jeffries used to do that. Remember that?
Yeah.
So I snuck in. There's 100 people watching him play a concert for an hour. Wow. And I just thought, in commercial breaks, I'm like, man, is this guy's got to be some marketing machine, or is he just this nice? And I walked away, and I think he's just that nice. Is that the case?
He is. And so we were backstage. We just got into Sastel Place in Saskatoon, and he's on stage doing his own sound check, which is pretty rare. Mm-hmm. I mean, big guys like that, they get somebody else to do that. So we're backstage, and my son was with me, my oldest son, Jordan, at the time. And we're practicing going through our couple song set or whatever it was. It was a half hour set. And knock on the door. Hey, Garth Brooks. Finally get to meet him. So, you know. 5 minutes later, after talking to him, he leaves. No word of a lie. He came back four times by himself, just knocking on the door, just checking on you guys, making sure you're good. He's like, what? Wow. You have people who have people to do this for you? And then the last time he came, he said, just letting you guys know, we got to push the show back the start time. So, you know, we're going to be pushing to 8 o'clock instead of 7 or whatever it was. And so I thought, well, my set's cut.
Yeah,
I'm not going to get to play. He said, because there's only 14,500, and we want all 15,500 for when you go on. So I was like, Wow. He's
doing it free almost.
Pretty. Awesome. He did, yeah, fully. It was just crazy. He's a super nice guy.
Adam Forsythe does the sports updates here and has just jumped in. That. And apparently there's a connection. Oh, there's the buddy. How do you guys know each other?
Many years of in my younger days at Gabby's and Roosters.
I was going to go with Roosters.
There's
really?
A Roosters connection.
So I was going to say, Eric Bichette from Roosters to play with Garth Brooks. It's pretty cool. But yeah, and then just getting to know each other. I know he's a big fan of the Canucks and then getting into the broadcast industry. And
now he's working at Roosters DJing and you're a slobbering drunk there or what?
Well, I slobbering drunk.
Well, I just wanted to find out.
Healthy
tipsy. You're there partying.
Yeah,
and absolutely. You get to know the DJ.
I've been to Roosters.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Slobbery drunk is quite regular. Let's be honest, guys. Come on.
Or blackout.
Fireball shots are flowing.
Yeah, exactly.
But then just knowing that Aaron's a massive Canucks fan, so we've connected a few times. And the Grey Cup, we reconnected in Toronto a few years back, and Aaron's having a concert out there with a bunch of former NHL players and Greg Zahn. And just this guy loves to talk hockey, so easy friendship.
What have you made of this year?
What's up?
What did you make of this year as a Canucks fan?
You know what? I really am looking forward to the future. It doesn't bother me that they didn't make the playoffs, that they're six from the bottom, whatever. It doesn't really matter. The future is really where it's at. I'll go next year to every game, even if they lose. Doesn't matter. Those guys are going to be fun to watch no matter what. So, and watching that they're getting so strong, and obviously with Elias Pettersson coming in, who knows where we're going to be drafting, but... I think we're going to be drafting higher than sixth. I have a feeling.
And how good was that last night for the Sedins? Wasn't that something?
Oh,
for a guy who performs,
perfect. Yeah, I wish I was there. I was there on the game the Tuesday before. But,
that was a pretty good game too, the Vegas game. Yeah,
pretty wild. So, I love those guys. You know, when they finally announced that they were not going to be coming back, I think everybody went, "What? Ah, we thought we'd have one more year with them, have a farewell sort of tour." But I think they did it right. They did it the way they wanted to, just keep it low profile. And somebody said they didn't want to even say anything before the end of the year, but it was the best thing to do, and it worked out great.
Well, now you have that hope. Goal scored by Aaron Bichette, assist from Henrik Sedin and Daniel Sedin.
Possible.
Thanks, man. This was fun.
My pleasure.
Have fun tomorrow.
Yeah, thanks.
Great to meet you. Your chance right now. Give us a call at 604-280-0650. First two callers in, we got a pair of tickets to the annual Canuck Country Rocks charity fundraiser event. Aaron will be there. The odds, Tim Hicks, Sean Austin, and Megan Patrick at the Vogue. It's a lot of fun. Aaron, thanks, man.
My pleasure. Can I just say that a portion of the proceeds are also going to go towards the Humboldt Broncos team as well.
Awesome. So, appreciate that. On Point, Perry Solkowski, Randy Bagenda continues. Yes, they do.
Sportsnet 650.